you, Rabbi Zephyr, for your work in putting this together. Thank you to the Frankels for graciously hosting this talk. I'm very happy to be back. I don't know if you remember, I was here 2 years ago, and I enjoyed it so much that I begged to come back again and be able to speak. It's a good relationship between the Kollel and the Star K. I was in Safeway. I don't know if you have Safeway here, but Safeway is like Walmart. So the fellow putting out the matzahs came over to me and asked me, when is Passover this year? So I was going to say, well, it's Tezvav Nisan, but it didn't look like he would relate to that. So I looked up on my palm. It's, what, the 20th of April, something like that? I said, it starts on a Saturday night. So he says, oh, well, so then I'll be able to sell till Saturday night. I said, well, Saturday, most people won't come, some will, but mostly it will finish on Friday. So I was thinking about it. The way he approaches Passover, right, his person working in the store is, when can I sell? So when is the last day that I can sell my Passover products? Everybody has their own approach to Passover. How does it affect them? That's how it affects him. I got a call from a woman. She was upset because people send chametz in the shaluch manas. She gets a lot of chametz, like most people get a lot of chametz in the shaluch manas. So she wanted that the Star K should make a rule or a promulgation that people should not send chametz. Why? Because, you know, a few weeks later is Pesach. And what are you going to do with it? You throw it out. So it's just not right. I mean, this is the way she felt. So she's turning to the Star K. We should use our pen and our PR, our voice, that we should make a rule that people shouldn't give chametz b'shaluch manas. So that's the way she views Pesach. You know, that is a problem with the shaluch manas. Kids look forward to Afikomen. People going away look forward to packing. People staying home look forward to cleaning, or don't look forward to cleaning, but clean anyway. At the Star K, Pesach is like our tax season. And it actually hits the same time of year, right? Almost. Approximately the same time. Because in addition to our regularly scheduled hashgachas that don't stop during Pesach, we have tons of emails, phone calls, and it's extremely, extremely busy. People give classes, and Baruch Hashem, people want to know. So we're very happy to be able to share that knowledge that the Star K has. But that's the way we view it. It's our busiest time of year. What I want to speak about tonight are issues that have no connection other than their Pesach issues. They all have to do with Pesach, and I think they're items of interest. So let me speak for about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll see if there are any questions, and we'll go from there. Here's an email we got recently. I'm a preschool teacher. While working on our preschool Haggadahs, we glued salt onto our karpas page. The salt we used was iodized, which I now realize is a problem in terms of Pesach. Can I use the page that we glued iodized salt on Pesach? So I told her, it's no problem as long as you burn it. And if, you know, you just light a fire to it and burn it up, and then there's no problem for Pesach. I'm kidding.
What about the glue itself?
The glue, right. Well, that could be an issue. But let's deal with the iodized salt itself. What's the problem with iodized salt for Pesach? If you look in all the Pesach lists, this is ours, 2008 Passover Guide. You can buy it at, I think, your local bookstore. You can get much of the information that's in here online at star-k.org. Not all of the information, but much of it is online. If you look at all of the guides, they'll all say salt does not need a hechsher for a special Passover hechsher as long as it doesn't have iodine. What's wrong with iodine? Iodine is a mineral that helps people eat, but iodine is not chametz. But what the issue is that they put the iodine into something called a carrier, which is usually dextrose, which is kidneyos, which is by Ashkenazi custom not eaten on Pesach. So, the in other words, if they just take, let's say, a couple of drops of iodine, and they would spritz it on top of your salt, and then mix it well, right? That wouldn't work. It wouldn't. One person would get a deadly dose of iodine, and everybody else would get none. So what they do is they put it into something that's called a carrier, like dextrose. It dissolves in a powder, and then they mix the powder. That they can mix well. So that is the problem. The problem is the carrier, not the iodine itself. So it's not a chametz problem. It's a kidneyos problem, which is the Ashkenazim don't eat kidneyos on Pesach by custom, which is the whole discussion of why and what it includes. But it includes dextrose. But that's only that you cannot, an Ashkenazi person does not eat kidneyos on Pesach, but you can have it in your home on Pesach. So you can use this karpas page as long as you don't sprinkle it over your food on Pesach, it would be fine. As far as the glue, most glues are not a problem. You could have a pasty glue made out of chametz, but it's a good point. We should get back there and deal with that. But 99% of the time, it's not going to be a problem, the glue. But this halacha of that you can have kidneyos, like rice, you can keep it in your house, you just can't eat it, is something that not everybody knows. I had another call from a woman about, could have been a man, because a woman is just, this happens to be, but she wanted to know about her dog. Her dog was very allergic to many, many pet foods. Allergic to wheat, allergic to meat. The only thing he could have, she found a pet food that had barley in it. So I told her that's a problem. Not for the dog, because the dog doesn't have to keep mitzvahs, but the people cannot have barley in their home. She can't keep it in her home. So I spent a lot of time with her until we figured out that the dog can eat rice. But the dog foods with rice have other things in them also. It's not just rice. But we realized that she could cook. She's going to make special meals for her dog, gourmet rice and some sauce, and, you know, so the dog will be fed. And she didn't realize that you can actually keep that and cook. You can cook. If you have a Sephardi in your home on Pesach, you can cook for them rice, as long as you keep separate pots and pans and keep it separate from your sink and so on and so forth. Okay. That's the iodized salt. Now, here's something I came across this year. What should I do with it? Here. This is new. Do you see what this is here?
Guitar pick.
It's a guitar pick. Right? This is made out of wheat.
What? They are?
Yeah.
What about plastic?
Huh? This one. Here, pass it around.
They used to be plastic. They're not made out of plastic anymore?
They are. 99% of them are made out of plastic, but if I bring you one that's plastic, I have nothing to talk about. I say, this is a plastic guitar pick. Do you have something to play on? This is made out of wheat. You see it says on it, wheatware.com. They came out with this idea of making some products out of wheat in order to save the environment, because the wheat decomposes. After 90 days, you put it in the ground, and it will decompose. And they said there's extra wheat, and so on and so forth, so they made it out of wheat. Is this a problem for Pesach? A person who owns a guitar store called me, a frum person who owns a guitar store, he wants to know, what does he do with his wheat guitar picks? Like, who would have thought that there's such a thing? I never would have thought of it. They also make utensils out of such material, like spoons and forks out of wheat and cornware. So everything is out of corn. Everything is, so it should be biodegradable. You put it, you know, when I use disposable in my home, plastic, but that's going to be around for another 1,000 years at least. It doesn't degrade easily. These things will degrade in the earth. So is that a problem for Pesach? I try to contact this company. The first thing to do is to try to find out, how is it made? How do you take wheat and make it into a guitar pick? You see, it's hard. Like, it feels like plastic, but it's hard. I don't know what it has. One thing for sure, I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't put it in my mouth on Pesach. Even if I was using it to play with, I wouldn't put it in my mouth. The same thing goes for the utensils. The ones that are made out of wheat, it doesn't really matter so much how they're made. I wouldn't put them and stir a hot pot with them. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't recommend on a Pesach. Whether or not you can keep him on Pesach is another question. In other words, does this fellow have to sell his guitar picks along with his chometz? That's the question. I don't have an answer because I don't know exactly how it's made.
Durable. It must have some.
I think it's okay, because it seems to me that they're adding something to it. They're doing something to it that makes it not. It's not. What?
It's probably just a little bit of wheat to make the name.
They claim that it's 100% wheat. They claim it's 100%. You can't really tell what it's made from by looking at it. It feels like plastic. But
it's only a yeshiva now. It hasn't been. You can think of tafkid other than.
It's just a yeshiva, but there you need toch petit. Maybe is this like toch petit? Because maybe it is.
The derech is actually the guitarist. They put it.
They put it in their mouth when they're fixing the strings. They put it in their mouth. I don't know. So I think it's probably okay, but we're still looking into that one. Okay, this we mentioned. This the next thing I remember mentioning 2 years ago, and it bears repeating. This is my show and tell. It bears repeating that people are human. That's the way people are. People are human. People make mistakes. In other words, you have a factory, a plant, that is packing Pesach products into Pesach boxes. But the workers there can make mistakes. They put the wrong products into the wrong boxes. And what happens every year, and happened this year also in one of our places, that a box comes in, it says on it, kosher for Pesach, a big box, like, you know, into a store. And the mashgiach opens it up, starts taking it out, and he sees it's not kosher for Pesach, even though it says on the outside kosher for Pesach. It was a deli. And a person needs to be very careful. A mashgiach needs to be careful. But it also applies to the consumers. You go to the store, right? And I don't know how it's set up over here, but in Baltimore, we have a place called 7 Mile Market, right? Okay. So you go to 7 Mile Market, and they... already a few weeks before Pesach, they're already serving or selling their Pesach products, but they also sell chometz because people have to eat until Pesach. So that's in one part of the store, and the Pesach section, a different part. So let's say you want to buy your salad dressing. You're walking down the aisles, you're busy, you have a list, 100 things, and you pick up your salad dressing and you put it into the cart, and you realize, wait a second, this is not Pesach salad dressing. This is all year. I don't want this. So you're at the aisles that they sell the Pesach products. You say, oh, I want that one with the pea. So you put down your chometz salad dressing and you pick up the Pesach salad dressing. This happens all the time. Okay. Then I go shopping, and I know this problem already. So I'm not going to the chometz aisles. I'm going to the Pesach aisles. I walk down. It says Passover items here, salad dressing, and they all look the same, basically. And I pick up one, and I put it in my cart. And lo and behold, at the table, at the Seder, this didn't happen to me, Baruch Hashem, but an example, that it happens, it does happen. The person who picks up his salad dressing says, well, it just has an OU, it doesn't have a P. Well, it must be a mistake, they must have left off the P. No, he picked up the wrong one. And this is unfortunately very common, especially because unfortunately the labels are very similar. We would like to change that. If we had our way, the Pesach label would be completely different than the all year round label. Like if you look at Empire Chickens for Pesach, it's like a yellow label, and the all year round is green and something. It's different, so you can see it right away. But when you, other items, the only difference is like a little P over there next to the Hechsher. That's the only difference. And it's very, very easy to confuse the two. P always means Pesach, by the way. It doesn't mean Parv. Some people think that it means, sometimes you get confused, they think it means Parv. It means Pesach. Doesn't never means Parv. If they want to write Parv, they spell it out. So it's like you have to be on the defense. You can't just leave it up to the Hechsher agency or the store or whoever it is, the manager, to make sure everything is set and you're just going to go to the Pesach section. You have to be careful. This also happens with matzah. We tell people, I mean, I'm sure you all would know that, but matzah needs a Pesach Hechsher. People are surprised to hear that because matzah, I mean, when else do you eat matzah? Well, some people eat matzah all year. They make matzah all year. Matter of fact, actually, Pesach is a good time to buy matzah for afterwards because it's extremely cheap. You could buy like five boxes for about $2 or so, but that would be Pesach matzah. But they make matzah all year. That's not Pesach. It's chametz stick. So the workers in the stores, well, they don't know the difference. So they put down the matzah in the Pesach section, and you come along and you take that. So you have to be very careful. Okay, next. Oat matzah. Some people are allergic to wheat, the gluten, and they use oat matzah, which has very little gluten in it. We write in our book whether the obligation of eating matzah on the first night of Pesach can be fulfilled with these oat matzahs is questionable. In other words, we know that the oat matzah is one of the five species that you can use on Seder night. However, the way that they make the matzahs creates a problem whether or not you can use them for Seder night. What is that? Because they take the grains, the oat grains, they harvest them in the summer, but they're not making matzah in the summer. If they would leave the grains until the winter when they're ready to make matzah, there's a bitter enzyme in it that would make the matzah taste bitter. So what they do is they heat up the grains with hot air in the summer, and then they leave it until the winter when they're ready to make the matzah. The problem is, though, once they heat that up, the matzah, and that kills the enzyme, it also makes it unable to become chametz. So it's not possible to make chametz out of these grains. So the question is, can you make matzah out of grains that cannot become chametz? Because the Torah says, take grains and make them into matzah and don't make chametz. But these grains can't become chametz. But they could have before. So it's a type of grain that can, but these ones I'm using can't. So that's the question. That's why it's a questionable use of these matzahs for Seder night. If
they baked it then?
If they would bake it then, it wouldn't be a problem. But the ones that... this year, the Lakewood Matzah Bakery made matzahs in the summer.
So people and they don't have this problem. Celiac disease can actually do the Seder with matzah?
Yeah, right. So the Lakewood matzahs don't have this issue. They made them in the summer, and they didn't have to heat them. The other famous matzahs are the ones that come from England, from Manchester, and they have this issue. I'm not saying you can't be yosei, but it's a question. The Lakewood matzahs are not yoshin. They told me, but next year they will be. They'll also be yoshin on the third day of Pesach, because everything becomes yoshin on the third day, but that's not going to help you so much for the Seder night. Okay, now, in this book, we have a whole list of medications, right? That's really the part that's not available online, because it comes from Rabbi Bess in the Kollel Los Angeles, and people ask us, why don't we put it online? The answer is that the Kollel uses it as a fundraiser. And if we'd just be available online, then nobody would donate money to them. So we have an agreement with them that we sell it and we put it in our book, that they're okay with. But in this list of medicines, you'll find all kinds of medicines, medications for heart diseases, serious things, non-serious things. And there are those agencies that hold that any medication, any pill, let's say, is okay. Any pill is okay. You don't need the list list maybe for the liquid medication, but any pill is okay. There are reliable agencies that say that. We have all these listed. And what is the dispute between us and they, them? One point that it hinges on is the following. If we don't, if we make a list of medications, is that going to cause people who really need them not to take their medications, or it's going to encourage them to take their medications? In other words, the other agencies feel that by putting out this list, we make it that a person, let's say, who needs to take a heart medication and it's not on the list, he won't take it. And chas v'shalom, that could be very dangerous. So it's not, they don't want it, they don't want to put out a list because it could be dangerous. We do put out a list, and we feel that there are people who want to be strict and have had a custom to be strict, and from their parents, so it's brought down from generation to generation. And if we don't put out any list, they won't take the medication because they don't know what's chametz and what's not. So they won't take anything. So it sort of hinges on this point. What will the person on the street do if he hasn't got a list? Will he take nothing? Or will he be more encouraged to take at least what's on the list? That's part of what it hinges on. So I discussed this last year. I gave a shiur in Baltimore. And a fellow in the class said that his family has a copy of such a list from Germany from 1928. The Breuer's community in Germany put out such a list. I said, can I see it? Can you get it? So he got it from his mother lives in New York, and he brought it, and we photocopied it, and we put it into our book. As you can see, we put it just to show, right? We have to show why we're doing what we're doing, that this is 80 years ago in Germany. And they have a list here that lists, I don't even know what these things are, naphthol, they even list nitroglycerin.
Yeah, people take it for heart.
Right. But they write contains chametz.
What does
it? I don't think nitroglycerin. Then. I don't know. I mean, nowadays we wouldn't even, that's too sensitive. I don't think we would get involved with that. A person needs nitroglycerin, he needs it. But they have a whole list of medications that do and do not contain chametz, and this is going back 80 years. So it's not. So our point is, we didn't make this up. This is an old custom. I'm sure they didn't make it up either. To be strict, even by medications, even though you have certain leniencies, you're swallowing it, you're not eating it, it's not a food, it's not really taken for purposes of food. There's many different reasons why it would be okay, but still we see that there was a custom to be strict, and therefore we feel that since people have this custom to be strict, if we don't put out a list, there will be people who won't take anything because they want to be strict, and therefore that's the purpose of our list. Okay. Are there any questions? Anything we thought? Yes.
Common problem, similar to the one that you spoke about, where products are switched in the same supermarket that carries both products. The reverse could also be a problem, where the Pesach product ends up on a chametz shelf.
Okay.
Next to the flour bags that are always leaking, next to any other products that may be sticky or whatever. And then when the worker comes along and sees that it's out of place, we'll then go put it back. Is there a recommendation by the Star K on, you know, when you go to the store, how machmer do you have to be? Clear out the shopping cart. There may have been chametz in there before. Put something, you know, spread something out. Which counter? I know some supermarkets will have a dedicated Pesach aisle or counter. But there very commonly could be things that spill, especially there on the conveyor belt. You can have products that you put on the conveyor belt and it get full of chametz. And this is probably very common if you pay attention to it. And then you bring it home and you may put it on your Pesach table and may touch some food. I mean, how far do you have to go to worry about these things?
That's a good question. It's possible that it could happen. And somebody who would be worried about it, I wouldn't think that they're strange. But we don't require our stores to wipe, even if they sell chametz or not, to wipe down the conveyor belt which where I would think is the most common place that such a thing would happen. I mean, it's a possibility, but you know, anything is possible. I mean, even at the distributor, such a thing is possible, and then you would really never know that because you don't even see that.
I mean, think of a bag of flour. Flour,
right.
I mean, flour bags are always leaking. You put it on the same conveyor belt, and people are buying hummus and basil.
Okay, so the flour will get on the outside.
See that?
It's not always. No.
The flour will get on the outside of another bag. That's true. I mean, it's a possibility.
And you put that item on your basil table, and your masa is all over the place.
Right.
Why is there not more attention paid to that?
I can only say we don't perceive it to be that, you know, that common. It's just things that are usually are enclosed, and you pull the food out of it. And you don't usually put the container on your table, you know, right next to your soup. So, I mean, is it possible that you can put it on your countertop and then, I don't worry about it. So I don't know. I mean, I just, if I would bring things home and I would see that they were dirty, then yeah, I would start to be concerned about it, but I don't see it so much. So,
do you recommend that people look at what they bring home from the store?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think that's a good. I mean, yeah, if you would see that.
I think there are people who wash everything. I think my mother washes all the eggs that she brings into the house, basically.
Okay, right. Okay, that's.
I think so.
I understand. You know, right. There is such a meaning, but I don't.
If I find an old German custom, I'll send it in to the next year's book.
Send me the copy.
I'm very touchy about whether I'll put things on the belt from my cart. I'm like, please put this right in a bag. I do that a lot.
Okay.
I think everything is crazy.
Okay, what about the cart?
No one did find a very dirty cart, and I was worried about it, but I brushed everything off on the outside.
Right. Okay, so you do your best. I once got a call from Amazon.com. Not every day do they call the Star K. Maybe the Star K calls them to buy things, I don't know, but they don't call us that often. So this woman, she worked in a one of their warehouses or marketing, I don't know exactly where she was, and she wanted to know, they sell food, and they wanted to have a Passover section on Amazon.com. So she wanted to know what laws are there about keeping the food separate in the warehouse. Very nice. Non-Jewish person. She wanted to know, what are the laws? I said, look, you should keep it clean. You know, don't put it in a place that you should clear out a section. You know, like if you have your Passover section, clear it out, make sure there's nothing there, and then you can put things there. There's no real set laws about it. Again, if you would buy something online like that, would it be a problem when you get it that you have to be concerned? I think if you see it's dirty, then you would be concerned. If you don't, then I wouldn't worry about it too much. So because of that, I went online just to see what kind of Passover section they have, or they had at that point. I don't know if they ever took off. And I typed in Passover into the search box, and I'm coming up with all these things that are clearly chometz. I didn't understand it. Then I saw that it was picking out things that said not for Passover. So I emailed her back and I said, you know, I tried your website, and the person looking for a Passover section is to come up with all these things that are not for Passover. Maybe you want to, you know, change the wording over there or something. Do something about it. So she thanked me. Yes.
Can I say something with regard to the book? I went yesterday for shampoo and things like that, and medications and Tylenol and whatever, and I was looking through the entire list in the back, and only after a few minutes did I realize that the star next to some of them
meant not for
Passover. So it's a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot confusing.
And it's a little dangerous.
Right. We've had that complaint. And this, what she's saying is there's a whole list of medications and shampoos and things, and then on some of them is a star. At the bottom of every page it says a star indicates it's not kosher for Passover.
The reason you have to do it like that is because there are other companies with guides that have two separate lists, one that's okay and one that's not okay, and it's very hard to find the product.
Okay. That's we've talked about this very point. This discussion we had in our office.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes we said, if we do it a different way, who's going to look at the one? Yeah, then you have to look at two sections. You have to look at a section that has.
No.
So then we came to your.
But why the no?
We had the same discussion. We said maybe we'll put like a skull and crossbones. You know, next to the one.
No good.
Or not.
You can do it color coded.
Gray, right? You can do it like the gray box goes on something that's not okay.
Or
that symbol that says.
Happy face and a sad face.
I'll tell you, part of the problem, part of the issue is that we get this list from Rabbi Bess. And it's always this. If anybody has ever published anything, there's always time constraints. So basically, what happens is he finishes his list on Monday, and we are waiting. We finished all the rest of the book, all this information. We spent a lot of time on it, but waiting for his list. Then we get it on Monday. On Tuesday, we look it over. We do whatever we need to do. And on Wednesday, it's by the printer. So there's not a lot of time we have to work with it. One thing we did do, I know this is not going to make you that happy, we made the star bigger this year.
But that's why you noticed it after 5 minutes, not after 10.
Right. In other words, that's what we did. So I saw it, I said, well, let's make it even bigger. So the graphics guy said, no, we can't. Well, okay. So,
that's a good idea.
Circle with the slash. I don't know. I thought that.
I like that.
Yeah, like the circle with a slash.
Yeah,
we
don't go there.
I don't know. I thought we came out like
PR,
that. Actually.
The star K, I think.
Say what?
The star.
Right.
That's
what should be
for the positive, not for the negative.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
It is a problem.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The good things, not the bad things.
Here's something that I came across this year. I want to share with you. Just 1 second. And did you ever wonder why these Bedikas Chametz sets have a spoon in them, a wooden spoon? Right? Why did I give you a spoon for? I mean, why do you burn it with your chametz or you use it to get the... It doesn't really hold all the bread, you know, they fall all over the place, but... Okay, what is the purpose? So I heard an interesting thing. First time I heard this, that in the olden days, this is also a meaning from many years ago, in the olden days, they didn't have plastic, right? There's no such thing as plastic. So when you wanted to stir a pot, you couldn't use a metal spoon, because it would be too hot, it would burn you. And there's no such thing as a plastic handle, because they didn't exist. They used wood, because wood does not conduct heat very well. Okay, now, you use that throughout the year, and come Pesach time, you want to kosher it. But how do you kosher wood? You can kosher wood if it hasn't got cracks in it, but after using a whole spoon for a whole year, you have cracks and crevices, the chametz goes in and it won't come out. Has to be smooth in order to kosher it. So what do you have to do with it? So what are you going to do with it? You have to sand it down. But they burn it with the chametz. So then you got to get a new spoon for Pesach and to use next year. So that's the purpose. That's what I heard. The purpose of this wooden spoon. That's how the minik became the wooden spoon by the Bedikas Chametz, because it's a remembrance of what they used to do. I guess nowadays they could give you a plastic spoon, but. I think some do. I think the kids come home with now. They're coming home with plastic. They may be coming home with the wheat spoons. Yeah. Okay. Here, I'm sorry. Question. Yeah.
Inhaled medications. Do you have to worry about that?
Inhalers. We have some on the list. If you know it has chametz in it, then probably you should stay away because you're benefiting from the chametz. If you don't know, then it's okay. Okay, soy milk. A lot of people are allergic to milk, or for kids, or for people who just can't have milk and want to drink something on Pesach. What about soy milk? Well, soy milk could have two possible problems. Number one, it's definitely kidneys, definitely made from soy, which is legumes, which Ashkenazim don't eat. The larger problem is that it could be chametz, because maybe it's made on chametz equipment. Like if they make a barley drink on the same equipment, and then they make your soy drink, so then your soy drink would have chametz absorbed into it. For many years, it was very difficult for people who had this, who had a problem to find anything, because nobody wanted to take responsibility. No agency wanted to take responsibility that their soy is pure soy without any chametz. But this year and the past year, the OU has taken Achrayus responsibility that Soy Dream original soy milk, unenriched, has no chametz in it, so it's only kitnios. Soy is kitnios. So that means that a person who's ill or a child who needs to drink it would be permitted to drink it. It's recommended to buy it before Pesach, because that way any possible chametz, there's no chametz, but maybe, so there would be, it would be nullified before, if you buy it before Pesach. But this was very helpful to many people who are allergic to soy and are ill and need to drink this Soy Dream original soy milk. Okay, on that question of kidneys, I got an email today. Question: kosher for Passover sesame of any kind? And in capital letters, hell, looking for halva. Kidney oats is not an issue for us. Please help. Okay, so this is an emergency. So we call out the big guns for this problem. So I guess this is a slightly person who wants kosher for Passover sesame. Now herein lies the problem, that the market in the United States, at least, is not geared towards the Sephardim. Maybe there aren't. Whatever it is, I'm not sure why. Maybe it's for Passover, there isn't a market for it. But it's mostly geared for Ashkenazim who do not eat kidneys. And therefore, if I, let's say I give the Hechsher to, on Halava, to, what's it called? Joiva, right? Joiva is Chavkei. They're not going to insist that it be chametz free. For what purpose? The market is very small. The company wants to buy whatever ingredients they want to buy that are kosher, but may have chametz in them. And it's very difficult to trace everything back. You have citric acid. Where does citric acid come from? Well, I buy it from you. It's a very difficult task to figure out that it's actually chametz free. And therefore, Sephardim, in America, at least, aren't. It's difficult to find. I mean, they can eat everything Ashkenazim eat. I mean, there's no problem. There's no lack of food. I mean, there's croutons. You can buy kosher based of croutons made out of matzah meal. Because you can get almost everything. But kosher based of a halva, I think, is still beyond us a little bit.
They imported from Israel.
Eretz Yisrael has more. Eretz Yisrael has more, but there's not a lot of imported either. Because maybe, I don't know. You know, I live in Baltimore, and the Sephardic community is rather small. But maybe if you go to Brooklyn and you go to the Syrian community, you go to Jersey, you may find more products over there. But it's still, it's an issue. It is an issue. Even for during the year, it's an issue, because you know that Sephardim have different rules with reference to the cooking. They need that a Jewish person cook the food, not only light the pilot, but cook the food. And that's not done in most restaurants. If you come to Baltimore and you go into any typical restaurant, they're not doing that. So if a Sephardic person, you can either talk to the Mashgiach, and the Mashgiach can help him out a little bit. And I once asked one of my Sephardic friends, I said, I was teasing him. I said, you go to David Chu's, which is a famous restaurant in Baltimore. I said, it's not Bishul Yisrael, according to you. So he said, it's Shalom Bayis. I said, what is Shalom Bayis? He said, my wife likes it. If I don't go there, it's going to be trouble. So, but anyway, it is a problem that Sephardim are not that well represented in the United States, at least. Okay, we were talking before about Erev Pesach coming out on Shabbos this year. That means that the chametz will be sold by the Rav on Friday. Most rabbis will sell it at the same time that they do during a regular year. So in Baltimore, it's about 11:30. In Philly, it's in here somewhere. I hope they made it into this book, otherwise I'll be embarrassed. Yes? Philadelphia, 11:28. So by 11:28 on Friday morning, the rabbi will probably have sold the chametz. Then you will leave out whatever you want to eat Friday, and Shabbos, if you're going to have chametz, and then whatever you have left over, you'll throw out. However, what you should not just wait till right before Shabbos and then say, well, this I'm going to put away, and this I'm going to keep, and this I'm going to... You should have it all settled, so when the sale is done, it's clear what you're leaving out and what you're putting away to sell. So that decision should be made before the rabbi sells the chametz. That's just one of the many issues that are coming up this year because Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. Next time we were discussing, it will be in 2021. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see you in Eretz Yisrael. Starkei Israel. Okay, any questions on anything? Yes?
Produce, I have a question.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, I like to prepare a lot of my vegetables and salads myself. A lot of people, like, they buy the packaged stuff, but I like to have a bug light. I need to know, I can't use the same bug light during Passover probably, right?
I mean, if you clean it, and you don't usually put chametz on it.
Usually I wash the table very thoroughly before I bring the bug light right to the table, and then I put the bug light, you know, it's only part on the table, and then I put it away. But right. I keep it in my cupboard, which is, you know, there's a cupboard that I sell. It's in the box. Right.
I mean, if you clean it and you see there's no chametz on it, and then you put down a piece of paper underneath it before you put it down, I don't see any problem.
Okay, so going back to the produce, I've got some things like, I got a brand new head of iceberg lettuce, for example. Usually when I make lettuce, if I take the iceberg, for example, I will peel off a leaf, one leaf at a time, and I wash it very thoroughly in with special washing solution, rinse it several times, and then put it on the bug light. If I open up a lettuce this week, can I put it back in a bag, sealed bag, which I did clean out my refrigerator bin, and use the same lettuce during Pesach, or do I have to get a whole lot?
No, you can use it.
Different lettuce.
Yeah, if you keep it away from chametz, no problem.
Okay. But anything that I have to physically cut with a knife can't be used during Passover.
Oh, if you're going to cut it with a chametz knife, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, but anything that I'm just physically taking off with clean hands and putting back into the bag and putting it away clean.
A question that we get is similar is, let's say I have leftover vegetables from this week. Can I use them on Pesach?
Yeah.
Cucumbers or tomatoes.
If they're not cut, it's okay, right?
I would think that if you wash them off, I would also think it depends where you keep it in your bin. If you have a special vegetable bin, so then it probably doesn't have any chametz. Plus, you're going to wash it off.
Right.
If you keep it, stuck into your wheat germ, that's probably not a good idea.
Okay. Good. You saved me a lot of
Okay, good.
Thank you.
No problem.
Are there vegetables that are known to have coatings that are... I mean, I know some people have a mimic to peel everything. But
we looked into that. The vegetable coatings are really an issue all year because some of them have some things that aren't kosher in the wax that coats it. And we actually got an application recently to give an hechsher on apples. So what would it look like, a star K on the apple, you know? That the star K says it's kosher. What it would mean would be that the wax is kosher. But we don't have a problem with it all year, and we don't have a problem with it for Pesach. So we don't require people to peel everything. But like you say, there are those that have a minik, so then they will peel everything, but we don't do that. We don't require that.
My mother peels the eggs.
Raw. Not when they're raw.
After she washes them.
She washed them.
I figured, okay.
Washed them, peeled them, and cooked them.
That's right. There you go.
Quinoa.
We talked about quinoa last time, but quinoa. I eat quinoa in Pesach.
Does it need
a kosher for Pesach? What, the thing with quinoa is a grain. It's very small, like a little
grass,
piece, like it's a grass. There you go. The Indians call it the mother grain. But they grow it in the stalk, like this, maybe this tall. Is that right? Yeah. And it comes with little seeds on it. And the question is, it's not chametz, but is it kitneos? Is it a leg, like a legume? And our position is, based on Rav Moshe Feinstein's response, that we don't make up new kidney oils. So quinoa was not discovered among Jews till, I don't know, 1985 or something. I don't know. It's in South America where there wasn't a community for a long time. It was first brought to America about 20 years ago. It wasn't included originally in the decree against kidney oils. Just like potatoes weren't included. One of the reasons that we have this issue of kidney oats is that people can take the kidney oats and make them into a flour, which you make bread out of. Well, potatoes, you can do the same thing. So if potatoes would have been around at the time when they made the decree, probably it would have been included. But it wasn't around, so therefore potatoes is a staple.
Thank goodness!
I don't mean that it wasn't created yet. It wasn't a new creation, but it didn't exist in Babylonia. Or not, it wasn't even from Babylonia afterwards.
It would be a lot more smart than that.
Yeah. So that's what it says. The same logic applies to quinoa. It wasn't around then, and it hasn't yet been accepted as kidney oats. Some do consider it kidney oats, and actually, if the majority of the world would consider it kidney oats, we would go along with it and we would say it is kidney oats because it became a mini custom to consider it kidney oats. But that hasn't happened yet, and therefore we consider it not to be kidney oats. But even though it's not kidney oats, you still can't eat chametz, right? Can't have chametz with it. And sometimes these grains are packed in plants that also pack wheat. So if you would buy a box of quinoa, it possibly would come with some wheat in it. So therefore, to solve that problem, we say two things. Number one, buy it from a company that doesn't pack other things besides quinoa. And number two, look through it before Pesach, like you would if you were Sephardi, and you look through the rice before Pesach to make sure there's nothing else in it. So the one company that we recommend is it's called Ancient Harvest. They sell quinoa that's packed in a plant that only produces quinoa. Also, Trader Joe's with a Half Moon K is packed also at a plant that doesn't have anything else besides quinoa. So you can buy that and look through it before Pesach and enjoy the quinoa.
So we
mean the Star K. The royal wheat.
Like the OU and the other.
The royal wheat. The OU also agrees that OU went back and forth. First, they used to say it's not kidney oats. I heard from them, from one of the rabbis there, that they say it's not kidney oats. And later, they vacillated. I'm not sure what they're saying now. Rabbi Heineman is the administrative star K. He's definitely the big voice out there saying that it's not kidney. There are those that say that it is. And maybe you want to stay away from it. That's fine. No problem. But one thing is, if you have quinoa flour, you can't check it because it's already ground up. So then you theoretically would need a kosher for Passover symbol on it, and it doesn't exist. That nobody gives a kosher Pesach on quinoa. So you should stay away from the flour. Yes?
Baby formula.
Baby formula, we have a list. The OU puts out a list of all the ones that do not have chametz problems, meaning they're not produced, they don't have chametz in them, they're not produced on any utensils or machinery, which is chametz, and they're only kidney oats. There's soy, or usually that's what would be in them, that would be kidneys, or rice maybe. But to kids who are drinking formula, it's fine. Just keep that separate from your regular utensils. You don't want to get mixed up. Okay. Self-clean ovens. When you kosher a self-clean oven, so it's very easy. You press the button, it's self-clean. And that's it, more or less. It turns everything to ash, and it's no problem. However, we discovered that there are some parts of the door that the self-clean cycle does not get to. In other words, outside the gasket. Right. The self-cleaning oven has a, how should I describe this? Now I could use the PowerPoint.
But, to the kitchen.
Yeah, everybody goes to the kitchen to see. But the door of the oven has a gasket on it that hits, when you close it, hits the outer rim of the oven itself. Beyond that gasket, what that gasket does is keeps in the heat inside the oven. So beyond that, it doesn't get that hot, and it doesn't get burnt up. Now, you don't cook over there, but still, you don't want to, I mean, chametz could drip there, so you don't want to have chametz. You should just clean it. Clean the outside of the gasket, both on the door and on the, called the face of the oven. So the outer perimeter beyond the gasket. There is, if you want, there's an easy off that is good for self-clean ovens. They make an easy off special for self-clean ovens that won't destroy the self-clean capabilities. And the gasket itself, a lot of people, you know, they want to clean out because it looks like it's got something in it, so they scrub it and they end up with no gasket because it's very, very sensitive. So you just put some soap there and rub it gently, and that will be fine. Question? Yeah.
Ammonia is okay too, isn't it? I usually put everything with ammonia.
Ammonia is what, for cleaning the gasket?
Yeah, whatever, the door, whatever, it's not in the soap.
I don't know. The gasket is very sensitive. It's like a fiber.
What about the rest of the door that's outside?
Yeah, you can use ammonia.
It's just a little soap on a paper towel for
yep.
the
mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Any other questions before we go on? Okay.
Or you have to look up the toothpaste, or any new toothpaste is good. That's what someone told me. Anything that's sealed before Passover.
We have a list of toothpaste in here.
So I had
good.
Somebody told me that all the major brands were good. Is that
maybe.
Sealed.
No, we have a list of them. I don't know if I showed this to you last time. So I just want to share this with you. You see that? It's a gorilla.
He's eating matzo.
So this is not a staged picture. It's real. This is what in Tel Aviv in the zoo. Before Pesach, they don't feed them chametz on Pesach. So this is before the picture was taken before Yom Tov, and they have to train, you know, get the animals used to eating matzah. Right? Yeah. That's one thing people should know, that if you're going to change your animal's food, your pet's food for Pesach, you have to start a couple weeks before, because otherwise the what you do is I'm not a dog owner or a pet owner, but what they say is you got to change it slowly. You don't just one day start giving him wheat-free and barley-free food. You have to change it slowly. You mix it with the old food. So we had this picture. I wrote an article on pets, feeding pets. So I wanted to put this in. But in the end, it was voted down. But it's a cute nonetheless. Okay. Fish. Buying fish at a non-kosher fish counter for Pesach. Can you go to the Safeway or Giant or wherever and buy a fish there for Pesach? So what we say is that if the fish counter only deals with fish, and they don't season, they don't cook, they don't do anything else except cut fish, then we don't assume that there's any Pesach problem there. And you can take it home and wash it, and it'll be okay.
You have to buy the whole fish.
Right, by buying, if they cut it, it wouldn't be a Pesach problem, but it would be a problem because they have non-kosher fish there as well. So the Pesach issue of it is only if they cook and season in that place. There's only a Pesach problem if there's seasoning there, which could be chametz. If there's no seasoning there and they're just selling fish and then they cut it, well, then that could be a problem because they cut non-kosher fish and they're cutting kosher fish. That's a separate issue. That's a problem all year. But if you solve that problem, and you also make sure it has the scales and so on and so forth, if you solve those problems, it's not a particular Pesach problem with buying fish from a non-kosher store.
What about salmon?
Salmon is the same thing. Salmon is the same thing. People a lot of times call us about salmon during the year. And actually, I have an advice for them. for salmon particularly, because the way salmon comes into most of the supermarkets, it comes in a ready cut. This is all year, forget about Pesach for a second. It comes in a ready cut, it's like a slab like this long. It has a skin on it. And that's how they take it from the farm. That's how they get it in from the fish farm. And then they cut it further. Well, if you go in and you tell them, give me a piece from the box, from the back, and just give me a whole side of salmon. And it comes in a plastic bag, and they don't cut it, they don't touch it. It has the skin on it, so you can see where the scales were. And then you take it home and you cut it yourself. So there's no, I don't see any kashrus problem with that, because at the farm, it's a salmon farm, right, usually, or they're cutting zillions of salmon.
They have other fish there too.
What? It's possible. These places, as it comes into the supermarkets, are usually getting from Chile or from, they're really just dedicated for salmon. But it's possible there are other fish. But they're doing a ton of salmon. It's not like your supermarket that they cut a catfish or a lobster and then they cut your salmon. It's not like that. They're doing so many salmon that it's not an issue. We don't suspect that your salmon was cut with the same knife as the, right? So it's really not a problem at all. And I do that myself. I mean, of course, if you want to buy with a hechsher, that would be even better, because then you're guaranteed that there's no problem. But I think this is pretty good second. That's for all year. And the same thing would go for Pesach. If you took, I guess, a piece from the box, it comes in a piece of plastic, comes in a plastic bag. I don't see any Pesach problem with that either.
I heard that salmon was dipped in something to enhance the orange color.
Yeah, you're really on top of things. That's pretty good.
And that could be,
that just
that
came
could
out.
Be hummus.
He's saying the salmon is dipped in some corn syrup. I just heard that today, and my one of the secretaries asked me. She said she heard it, and I said I'm going to look into it, but I didn't have a chance yet. I was on the train, so I didn't have a chance to look into that yet. So if you want to see, I want to call there's a hechsher from British Columbia that announced that. So I want to call them and see what their issue is.
Well, it could be not just a facial problem; it could be all year round. I mean, who knows what they're dipping in?
Could be. They particularly thought it was only a Pesach problem.
Yeah,
but kidneys was corn syrup. I don't know. Any other questions? Any questions? Yes.
On Shabbos before Pesach, after we make a motzi, we wash after the motzi. And it says not in a... in a Pesach sink. Where do you get a sink that's not a Pesach sink?
You wash not in a Pesach sink?
And the same thing with the Kiddush cup.
Why do you have to wash not in a Pesach sink?
I don't know.
So where do you get one? Or where
I don't know.
Why would you? Why do you have to wash it not in a Pesach sink?
I don't know. That's my question.
Oh, it says not to wash it?
Right, because you have hummus. You've made a motzi with...
Yeah, wash before.
Yeah,
no,
it
says to wash after because you
want to
wash the crumbs off.
Oh, I see. Your hands are full of hummus or something like that. Oh, I see.
So
you go into the bathroom?
You just go to the regular bathroom. Yeah. So that sink now becomes a hummus sink, so it's not a problem.
Well, yeah, it's not used for eating, so it's not a problem. Yeah, no, it's not a problem. No problem, yes.
But people have been telling me that you make the motzi outside. So that you don't
you can
have
do
a
that.
Problem.
You can do that. We prefer if you make it inside, like in a different part of the room or something like that. That way it's at least the same room. But if you make it outside, that's okay.
Some people eat their bread inside a plastic bag.
Let me just cover a couple more things quickly. Sugar is something that does not need a piece of hechsher. Like pure cane sugar doesn't need any special Pesach hechsher. It's fine, just regular cane sugar. Confectioner sugar does need, because confectioner sugar has cornstarch in it to help it flow. There is one company that makes confectioner sugar with wheat starch. So that would be a chametz problem. But most of them are cornstarch. It's just kidneys, but still we don't use that. So there is confectioner sugar with the hechsher for Pesach, and that's what you should get. But regular sugar doesn't need a Pesach hechsher. As a matter of fact, there's very little benefit in buying, let's say, sugar with a Pesach hechsher. This is a whole other discussion. Probably spend about a half an hour on this. Our one of our goals at StarKey is make things easier and less expensive for consumers. So if we know of something that doesn't really need a hechsher, we'll tell you. I mean, you could take an approach that, well, to be on the safe side, I'll just buy everything with the paper hechsher. That is a very expensive approach and not always necessary. But some people want to be more strict. But the truth is, by sugar, you're not getting very much more. Pure cane sugar, you're not getting very much more if there is a Pesach Hechsher or there's not a Pesach Hechsher. There are some things where you would be getting a benefit, but not sugar. Also not salt. If salt, as long as salt doesn't have iodine, the Pesach Hechsher is not really doing very much for you. Yes?
Super fine sugar. Is that included in the Dominus list? That it doesn't need hechsher? It's that very fine sugar they use for baking sometimes. It's in a recipe in a bag.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't say confectioner sugar on
it,
it'll be fine.
It has nothing to say.
Yeah,
it's just
be
very
fine.
Finely granulated regular sugar.
It shouldn't need a hechsher.
Brown sugar also.
What's that?
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar is interesting.
Yeah,
it's we say that it should have a hechsher. There's a slight issue with it, not great, not but Domino, I think the OK has OKP on it, so it's not a problem.
What about maple syrup, 100% maple syrup?
Maple syrup should have a hechsher. It has things added to it, like an anti-foam. I want to tell you something about the salt, though.
Pure maple syrup has stuff.
Pure maple syrup, yeah. Because when they make it, when they create it, they heat it, it foams up, right? And it's going to spill over the top. So they have to add something to it to keep it down. I had a mashgiach going to, we're talking about salt. I sent a mashgiach to a salt factory. It's not like right down the block from us, you know. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And it's the kind of place that you only go to, we go there once a year, and we only go to salt places because we have to visit them. Otherwise, how do we give a hechsher to it? He went in and he found that they were adding soybean oil to the salt. They would cook up the salt to extract it from the rock, wherever they got it from, and they would add some soybean oil to keep down the froth. It's called an anti-foaming agent. So he said, you know, if you want to have a hechsher for Pesach, you can't use this. Now, it was used at a very, very small amount, like one, like parts per million. They didn't always use it, but still, if we're giving a hechsher to it, then we told him you cannot use the soybean oil. So there could be slight problems with salt. This is unusual, though.
Okay, I must interrupt. I think Rabbi Goldberg has to make a train, and we don't want to hold him back.
Sure.
We thank you very much, Rabbi Goldberg. It's enlightening, as always, and we thank the StarKey in general for all their help and their eagerness to help us run this program.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you again to the Frankels for hosting. They should have a wonderful Pesach.
Thank you for listening, and everybody should have a very happy and joyous Pesach to get you and your families, your extended families. Have a good
day. Yeah. Okay.